As the convergence of all things continues, it becomes harder and harder to find good news to read about or hear talked about. But there is good news to read and to talk about, and it begins with the words, "Blessed is the man," from Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Let's look at the word way. From Genesis 49:6, "Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased." Here's a shared passion and lust for control for these men, and they will, by whatever means, seek to have it. They find no limit on what they can do, only obstacles needing to be removed to accomplish their goals. From Psalm 26, verses 9 and 10, "Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes." In other words, buying loyalty. Truth will win the day, but evil and wicked must take the day to win. Psalm 37:38, "But all sinners will be destroyed, and the future of the wicked will be cut off. Although they, being sinners, prosper for a time, time itself will become their downfall. God will not be mocked, and in his time, he will call each person to account. And he gives each of us the option of sitting with the Lamb of God or facing the Lion of Judah." Psalm 51:13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you." If you have not the courage to tell others what God has done for you, then maybe in your fear of proclaiming the good news to another, you may want to reconsider if you have embraced the good news yourself. We are constantly called into times of reflection. Why? Because we are to learn from our past. Look at where we are now and consider where it is we are going. It's how we grow and make decisions as we're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 104:35, "But many sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked will be no more." The disappearance of evil will mean that everything will have to be made new, a new heaven, a new earth. For all has been spoiled and stained with sin, and what is old cannot be made new. But new can replace the old, being much better in substance and purpose. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. This is the journey. For Israel, it was when God heard their cries of oppression. From them came the birth of Moses, who was, because of Egypt's laws at the time, sent away from his family to save him, and he was raised by Egypt because it was against the law for his natural father and mother to have him, let alone raise him. Moses, now grown when seeing the brutality of the Egyptian ways, stood in the gap when he saw a fellow Hebrew being beaten. In Exodus 2:12 it says, "Glancing this way and that, seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." But God finds Moses in the desert. He calls him, and he uses him to bring the people that God has chosen to be his own out of Egypt and into a relationship with the Lord who will deliver them. And so we find Moses and Aaron return to Egypt. We hear the warnings given to the Pharaoh. We see Moses and Aaron leading the people towards the promised land. And we read of them spending years in the desert while many will perish, and those who believed God would be led into the promised land. This journey is not at all unlike the one we are called to. First, there's someone who comes to us to tell us the good news, and to give us words of hope that we can hold on to. There are warnings given us that if we do not change from where we are and who we are, then what we believe will lead us further away from God instead of towards Him. Many will perish in our day, never having tasted the sweetness of God's hand and provision, for they will not turn to Him and take hold of the promises that He will never break, because in Him there is no evil, only truth and love. The time that we spend then upon the earth after giving our hearts to the Lord and letting Him lead us out of our Egypt, out of the world, will be times of testing by God and temptations by the devil. And some days will be found to be restful as under a great shade tree, and others will find us under a broom tree where the heat can still touch us, but we can find some shade and enough rest for the continuation of our journey to the promised land, to heaven. Not all people will come out of the world. Not all people will turn away from the ways buried deep in their hearts. Both in time and over time, what once lay buried will rise up. And if no order has been given and no order has been received, what lies deep within will come to fruition, and people will do as their hearts desire. Jeremiah wrote in 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure." And so God tells us in Deuteronomy 10:16, "Circumcise your hearts, therefore. Do not be stiff-necked any longer." To be stiff-necked is to be obstinate and difficult to lead. It means having an attitude. Paul writes to the church in Rome, "Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you become as though you have not been circumcised." Romans 2:25. You see, God knows the heart, and He knows the attitude within it. The people had cried to God, and He heard their cries. He sent someone to lead them out of an impossible situation and showed the world that nothing is impossible with God. He led them, He fed them, He made their clothes and shoes last them for the journey, and He provided refuge for them as He protected them from those who would do harm, from both outside forces and from the people within their own community. All laws are branches that come off of God's law. The law set forth when He handed the commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. He gave 10 basic commands that mankind did not have to tear apart to understand. What they would not grasp hold of is that by these laws men would be judged not only by each other, but by God. He said, "You shall have no other gods before me, not make for yourself an idol or take the name of God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall not commit murder, commit adultery, steal, lie, and covet." These commandments given them that day on Mount Sinai were to make them strong, to keep them healthy, and to give them long life if they would follow the ways of the Lord and walk in them. To do this, they needed to get Egypt out of their system, and they needed to turn from the old ways and look at everything differently through the eyes of the Lord. It is impossible to do this without the Lord, because deep within a person is something that many will not admit or recognize, and it is our sinful nature. And there's not one who does not draw breath that does not have this within them. It was only Jesus, the Son of God, who would come down from heaven, and being born in the flesh, did He come as one perfect and leave, having suffered the death belonging to each of us as sinners. Because of Him, we can be born a sinner and leave the world as a saint, a child of God. Reborn not in the flesh, but in the spirit, where a person comes into a relationship with the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Psalm 1:3. David wrote in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The world will not allow you to change. It will demand that you conform to its ways. Just look around you and listen to what's being said today. But God, He has given you a way out of the world's oppression. He has invited you to become a member of His family, and He has offered you a mansion in heaven, the place where all want to go, but not all will. A place where there will be no sorrow, no pain, or death to face again. And that, my friend, that's good news. The question is, now what will you do with what you have heard? Be blessed or stand cursed? at peace or in torment, a child of God or an offspring of the devil. Live in heaven or suffer in hell. There are two choices in every situation, and each of us must choose one of them, and who we keep for company will influence which choice we make. Actions, reactions, attitudes. These are the things that will bring us to the Lord or drive us away from Him. Remember, no one leaves this world without choosing the Lamb or facing the Lion. Maranatha.